Merry Christmas. Man, we made it. We are here. This is a big deal. Christmas is a big deal. Actually, I read something not too long ago that stuck with me. It was an article just talking about the Christmas season, and it said that Christmas time is like a magnifying glass. Christmas time seems to magnify all kinds of different aspects of our lives. The things that we experience normally are all a little bit bigger, a little bit greater, a little bit more intensified at Christmas time. So you'll see what I mean. Meals. We don't just eat at Christmas, but we feast at Christmas. We eat more than we normally do. We have more parties, bigger celebrations. We get together maybe with the extended family. We get together with our friends more often. We buy more stuff as we give gifts to one another. If you're happy at Christmas, or if you're happy generally speaking and things are going well, then at Christmas time, you're probably even more joyful. There's a lot to celebrate and a lot to think about. And then there's some things that are a little bit more challenging that get intensified at Christmas time. So I found this out even earlier this morning. Parking lots are busier and lineups are longer. Credit card bills seem to get a little bit bigger. Expectations are higher. If you're busy kind of people, then you probably are even busier at Christmas time. And then there are some things that we really sometimes struggle with that can be intensified, whether that be grief or loneliness, our anxieties or stresses or fears can all feel greater. Conflict that we have with maybe family or people that we thought were friends are intensified. And the problem is, on the one hand, some things that are really good and fun and enjoyable seem to get bigger, but also there are some other things that seem to be even out of our control, seem to get even overwhelming for us because they seem so big. But not everything that's really important is that obvious. And so today, what I would like us to do is just to spend a couple of moments shifting our perspective at Christmas time. Because there are some things that maybe we need to take a closer look at. Maybe some things that we need to magnify a little bit more. Now, the Christmas story, the first Christmas story, is very much at home in that kind of world because the Christmas story, as we saw in our presentation, comes to very ordinary people who lived very ordinary lives, just like us, with things, some that were really good and enjoyable in life and some that were tough or they were challenging. So the Christmas story comes to someone like Mary. Mary, we know, is a young girl, a teenager. She probably had thoughts and plans for her life. She wasn't married yet, but we know that she was planning to get married. She was in the process of it. She probably had an idea of what her family might look like, what her future would look like. When all of a sudden the angel comes and announces that she's pregnant and that this child is from God. And this intensifies, I'm sure, a lot of things for Mary and in Mary's life. This is not my plan. This is a future that is uncertain. This is a story that when I tell people, it's not very high on the believability scale. What is Joseph going to think? What is our village, our family, our friends, what are they all going to think? How is this going to go for me? What is our world going to look like? And I'm sure that she had anxieties and fears that probably in those moments got bigger and bigger and bigger. And yet, Mary writes this song that we find at the end of Luke chapter 1 after she's visited by the angels, but before the rest of the nativity scene proceeds. And it has become one of the most famous songs in Scripture. And I want to read it for you this afternoon. It starts in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. It says, Mary responded. As Mary took all of this in, here was her response. She starts by saying, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things." Now, this song that Mary writes has become known as the Magnificat. It's called the Magnificat because originally this is written in Greek, but in the Latin translation, the first word of the song is Magnificat. And it is that word that in the English we translate in that first line for praises. She says, "My soul praises the Lord." Literally, in the Greek, that word means to magnify. And you see that in the first line, it says her soul magnifies, makes bigger the Lord. And in the second line, there's this great reaction. She says that her spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And that word for rejoices actually means greatly rejoices, a joy that gets even bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes. But I love this idea in the middle of a story where so many things would have been magnified, so many concerns and anxieties and stresses and fears would have naturally seemed so big, even overwhelming for Mary. She takes a moment to say, but my soul is going to, on purpose, magnify the Lord. Why do we magnify things? We magnify the things that we want to see better. The things that we magnify are the things that we want to see better. The things that might seem small, but if it got a little bit bigger, we'd be able to see more details. We'd be able to see a different perspective. We'd be able to see something that normally we couldn't see. And so even if you're looking on your phone at a picture or text that is too small, what do you need to do? You zoom in, you make it bigger, you magnify it so that you can see something that you didn't see before. And that's what Mary is talking about here. In the midst of all the things that probably seem so big and obvious and you couldn't even miss them, she stops and says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And here today on Christmas Eve, I think that's an invitation that we have. To magnify the Lord. Now, this whole idea of making things bigger so that you can see them, I feel like I understand very easily, partially because my eyesight is really, really poor. Maybe some of you out there, you are with me. When I wake up in the morning, if I look at my phone, I can't read anything on my phone. I would not be able to read words in a book. I get in the shower, I can't even really tell on the labels the difference between shampoo and conditioner. I gotta guess, or maybe make sure the bottles are different shapes or something like that. That's just right from birth. I've never had a great prescription. But luckily, I always wear either contacts or glasses. And I'll tell you, when I wake up and I can't see anything, the moment I put my contact lenses in or the moment I put on glasses, all of a sudden for me, the entire world looks different. My perspective of everything changes. And the way that I can live in the world and the way that I can respond to the things around me is completely different because now I can see things in a way that I couldn't before. And I can see details that I never would have been able to notice before magnifying them. Here's three things in those verses that Mary said as she talks about magnifying the Lord and her joy growing greatly. Here's why. Maybe you picked up on them. She says, number one, because God has seen me. She says, on the one hand, I'm his lowly servant girl. I'm ordinary. I'm not much more special than anybody else is. But God sees me. God knows me. God knows my name. He knows my situations. He knows my life. He knows my struggles. He knows the things that I'm going through. He has taken notice of me. The second thing she notices is that God has blessed me. Now, if you are here and you are listening to the Christmas story and you say, there are parts of this story that I find hard to believe, we'll just acknowledge that. There's angels, the whole pregnancy story. There are things where you go, "Ooh, that's not really easy to believe." But this line that Mary gives us about generations, all generations will call her blessed, we kind of have to believe that because even this week, millions of people all over the world, 2,000 years after this was written, will meet and gather, and as they proclaim the story of Jesus' birth, we'll remember, blessed is Mary, the mother of Jesus. God, in all of how she could have interpreted her circumstances, she said, has blessed me. And then thirdly, God has done big things or great things for me. God does good works in my life. And you might stop there and say, well, that's great for Mary. That's great for a story that is long past in history and very good for her and lots of fun we can have making a play out of it or reading this story at Christmas time. But throughout history, Christians, followers of Jesus in the church have noted that, well, Mary is unique. Of course, Mary is unique. And most of us would say, I'm nothing like Mary and I'll never experience anything that Mary experienced that first Christmas, anything like it. She is so unique and she is. And yet she also is a model for all of us. She's the model of what it looks like to receive the divine life inside of her, to let the presence of God grow and form, to be birthed into the world. And that is a beautiful invitation at Christmas time for each one of us to see the invitation of what we celebrate, that God has come into this world, that he is present, that he is close by, that he is not far off, he's not unavailable, he's not unapproachable, but instead he has gone to great lengths to show us that he wants to be with us, that he loves us, that he cares for us. See, Mary in this story, she starts with those three powerful statements about herself, that God sees me, he knows me, that God blesses me, and that God does good works for me. But then she talks about the impact that this is going to have on the whole world because of who God is. And the rest of her song is about people who are in pain, people who are on the outskirts, people who are often not accepted, people who don't have enough. And she talks about how God will do those same things for them to see them, and to bless them, and to do good things for them. She says, he shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones, and he's brought down princes from their thrones. But he's exalted the humble, and he has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away with empty hands, but he has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. So in a nutshell, here's some things that she says about God as she reflects on the Christmas story and Jesus being born into this world. God sees me. He blesses me. He does great things for me. He shows mercy. He lifts up the humble. He feeds the hungry. He helps the servants, and he remembers his promises to his children. And when she says he remembers his promises to his children, she specifically talks about the promise to Abraham. The promise to Abraham is one of the most foundational promises in all of the scriptures. God came to Abraham and made him this promise, essentially. He says, I am going to bless you so that you can bless the entire world. I'm going to bless you, he said to Abraham, with a great family and a great lineage. And through that family, the entire world is going to be blessed. And what Mary is saying in this powerful song is that we see that God fulfills his promises. What he promised to Abraham, we're now seeing fulfilled, not only in his first generation or the next generation of children, but now fulfilled ultimately in the birth of Jesus. Jesus, who has come to bless the entire world, because Jesus is Emmanuel, a name that they gave to him, which means God is with us. This amazing promise that is being fulfilled in Jesus, because God has blessed us with his presence, that God is here. Again, he's not far off. He's not hard to get a hold of. He's not disinterested. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. God has gone to great lengths to show us that he wants to be with us and that he is here because he sees us. He sees you. He knows you. He knows your life. He knows your struggles. He knows your joys. Because he's a God of blessing, and he wants to bless us. The world he wants to bless, and he is doing good things. And so he sent Jesus as a baby who would grow up and to show us what love looks like, what the divine presence looks like birthed into this world. Love himself, willing to give himself up for the world that he loves. So today I ask you if you would just simply reflect on what challenges, what things in your life maybe seem huge to you, seem so obvious, seem so big, maybe things that overwhelm you. And I'm not here today to diminish any of those things or to say that they're small or that you just simply shouldn't worry about them. But here is my prayer for you and I this Christmas. May we be overwhelmed with the magnified presence of God, and that you might know that he sees you, that he blesses you, and that he does good for you. So we're going to close our service in just a couple of moments. And here at Westside, we have a tradition where we sing Silent Night together. And we've talked just for a couple of minutes this afternoon about one way, if you want to see something that isn't always so obvious, is you magnify it. But another way that you might want to make sure that you see something that maybe you could miss if you're not careful is to make sure that there's enough light. You need to turn on the lights. And so in John's gospel, speaking of the birth of Jesus, it puts it this way: in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In him was life, the life that he wants to give you and I, the life connected to divine life, living in the presence of the God who sees us and blesses us and does good for us. So we're going to light some candles now. If you want to grab the candle that's in the chair in front of you, you can take it. And we're going to light it from the Christ candle. And as we light your candle, if you could help us pass the light to others around you, in a few moments, this room will be filled with the light of Christ. And as we sing, my invitation to you will be to look around and to see that light and to be reminded of the light that has come into this world in Jesus. It is the light and the life of God. So Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you for the reality that you've seen us, that you bless us, and that you work good things for us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you give to us. Thank you for this Christmas message, for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.